spirits of the prophets has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. This is Jesus. I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. Not this John, but John the Apostle. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am your fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And the context there is not simply sing a song. You know, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable spiritual worship. Verse 10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. We talked about this last week, you know. 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. The return is near. It may happen before any of us really expect. Let the evil doer still do evil. I had someone say to me in reference to one of the verses from last week, hastening the return of the Lord. There's a call for us as believers of God to reach out with the gospel light and shine it wherever. But there's also an opposing side to that, that he says, let the evildoer still do evil. You understand, when you look in the early part of the book of Revelation, it talks about things that are filling up the bowls of God's wrath. So there are two things that are happening right now. Evil is increasing, filling up the bowls of God's wrath, and he will pour them out. And we are to be obedient and go out and be a light. And Jill and Howard are assisting people doing exactly that. And we're participating in that. And we do that with Circle Square, and we do that with Anita Pierce, and just a number of people. We are seeking to be light. We're seeking to be light here. Amen? So we're hastening that day. There's stuff that's happening. And when is his kingdom going to come? Well, it's not going to come through the work of my flesh. It's going to come at his return. And you go to verse 20 of the last chapter of Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I really appreciated that song. Because to me, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's for us right now. And thy will be done. I don't expect it to be done in all the neighborhoods around, but it better be done in me. It won't happen in the neighborhoods if it's not done in me. It won't happen in the neighborhoods if it isn't done in the believers. Amen? So let's pray, and then we'll go to the devotional for this morning. That was just, I was very moved by that particular song. Because anytime we sing that song, anytime we say the Lord's Prayer, we're really saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the living epistle, the living letter of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God incarnate, God come in the flesh. Father, help us to exalt that name above every name. Help us to bend our knee to that name. Help us to bow our heart to that name. Help us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit and by your word, to allow Jesus to be infused in us. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We opened the new year, January 1st, with a message, a devotional from Lamentations. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And he is supposed to be our portion. And that has to be a deliberate decision. It doesn't just happen. It begins with submitting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in redemption, acknowledging that we missed the mark, but He covers that, and He moves in. And we, according to Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And He wants to fill these vessels up. And then we went to last week, 2 Peter 3, verses 1 to 18, and I had somebody come to me and say, I want to thank you for that message. This was several days afterwards. And they said it explained a lot of things to them. There's going to be a judgment. But do you understand that when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5. And now you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's a reality. We need to understand that and grasp that. But we also need to say this is the beginning point. It's a beginning and it's an end all at the same time. That if you're in Christ, your eternity is secure. But I'm learning how to grow up in Christ. You know? One of the assignments that I have for the mentoring for this coming Wednesday is memorizing a portion of Hebrews. And he makes this comment. He says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain because you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And I started working on that this on Thursday night. And then it goes on in chapter 6. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. And then it lists six things that are regarded as elementary. But have I become dull of hearing? And that's a challenge for each one of us. And I thought, man, this ties in. This kind of blossoms some of my concern for the week of prayer. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And in so many places in North America, in quote-unquote congregational life, weird stuff is being accepted. Well, that takes us to the whole journey of walking with Christ. That takes us to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The title for the devotional today is, What is My Faith, Hope, and Love? What is it? What is my faith? What is my hope? What is my love? And this will be part, and I'm going to really try to limit it to just eight devotionals from the four chapters of Colossians, growing in our walk, a journey through Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now, I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit's praying for you right now. The Holy Spirit's praying for me right now. The Lord Jesus Christ in his high priestly role, makes intercession for you and I. This is happening in the heavenlies right now for you and I. If I fail in my Christian walk, it's not because God didn't care and God wasn't interceding. It's because I was defiantly rebellious and did my own thing. Okay? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. This is not just an attitude of God towards us, that God is gracious to us. The idea of the word grace, charis, is connected to the word gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a whole connected thing that we need to grasp. And we need to understand that grace is the Bible word for the power work of God in your life today. How are you saved? You were saved by the power of God. God came as man, walked obediently, was betrayed, falsely accused, nailed to a cross, rose from the dead. That's what saved us. That's not an attitude. That's a power work of God. Paul said in Romans 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God to everyone who believes. I need to embrace that, okay? Which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it's bearing fruit and increasing as it does also among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so in the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's his desire for you and I, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened. This is the Holy Spirit's prayer for you. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, to an endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You are qualified by God. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit, who prays these words, would just infuse us and illuminate these things to us and allow them to be embraced and strengthened in us by the Word and by the indwelling Holy Spirit and the resurrected Christ who abides in us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says, long ago and many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He has spoken. Question, John, am I listening? Am I listening? Am I listening to what God is saying? 2 Peter 3:11-13, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? In lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolve, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Not the burn, as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. May thy kingdom come. May it be on earth as it is in heaven. It will be. It will be. And I need to move that along. Matthew 17:7. I hadn't really thought that one through or planned it, but Wednesday during the mentoring session, this came up, and I'm going to touch on that again in just a couple of minutes. Matthew 17:7, and Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." The disciples were unable to cast a demon out of a young boy, and he says, what's going on? How long am I going to abide with you? You know, and boy, that convicted me. Just a quick review of Colossians 1-14. The idea of saints is not something the church makes or the church declares. Saints is something that only God does. And if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares you to be a saint. And then when he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called, what are you called? Well, you're called a saint. You know? And he says, now walk worthy of that. You know, if you tell a kid repeatedly that they're stupid, they're going to start believing that. I remember when Lynn managed to get Johnny diagnosed after 12 years of public school, not counting kindergarten and that. And he's getting ready to go off to college. And she is advised of an organization. And they she goes and they talk to them. They say, listen, we have a psychologist we'd like you to talk to in Saskatoon. And it turned out that very day there was an opening. So she drove up to Saskatoon with Johnny. And the appraisal is done. And he's diagnosed as being dyslexic. And he phones me. And they're coming back home. He says, Dad, I'm not stupid. I'm dyslexic. You know, but he was put out in the hallway. He was put in special rooms. He was put here. He was put there. And he starts to believe that. And that's a yoke of bondage that to some degree he carries to this day. And I continuously pray that God will just impress upon him that he is in fact a saint of God. He is called by God. There is a unique purpose for him in his life. And that's true of every one of us. We'll live up to the most prevalent words that are spoken to us. The things that we hear over and over again, we'll live up to that or down to it, whichever the case may be. You know, but you are declared to be a saint. In the King James, this word is translated as holy 161 times. As saints, 61 times. And this wasn't special people that had done so many miracles that they're canonized as saints. No, they were declared saints by God because of what God had done in their lives. You are a saint. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, receive right now the fact that God says you're a saint. You're a holy one. You're called and separated for him. it's translated holy one 4 times. And then there's 3 miscellaneous words that are used to translate that same Greek word. Notice the word heard in this Holy Spirit prayer in verse 4 and 5 and 6 and 9. They've heard. What have you heard? What are you listening to? We need to be clear on that. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, gives thanks for the believers, the saints in Colossae. And that extends to every saint everywhere. First, thanks for their faith. First point. Since we heard her, okay, what are you hearing? Okay, that's important. Only you can answer that. You need to hear what God's saying to you. And it'll be backed up by the Word of God. Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints, everything is contingent upon what I believe. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We all have faith, but we all put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We drove here this morning and we did it largely by faith. We couldn't see much. No, I mean the visibility was the right? It wasn't great. The road was a lot better than I expected it to be. But you're driving along, and I'm going by some semis who are moving very slow, and I have a measure of faith that they're going to stay over there. You know? We all walk by faith. You just get to decide where you're going to put it. That dotted white line's got no power to keep that semi over there. You know? And we're driving the Escape because I want to escape any disaster, and it's four-wheel drive. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He is, that He exists, that He rewards those who seek Him. Next, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, it's not passive. Faith is very aggressive. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What am I listening to the most? Am I getting into the word? Am I feeding my soul through the Spirit, which receives the words of the Spirit of Christ? Or am I listening to nonsense? I'm amazed at some of the stuff that some of our young people are listening to. I hear it, but I don't hear it. You know what I mean? You know? It's like I have a trouble when they announce things over the PA. If I'm in the freezer or the cooler, or I got my head in one of the floor coolers or the floor freezers, all I hear is the fans. I can hear something in the background. I know that something's being announced, but I don't know what. There's some things I don't know what. I don't want to know what it is. No, I'm sorry. There's some of the stuff out there that people are listening to. I don't really want to hear it. I want to hear the Word of God. Next. Matthew 17 and verse 20, please. Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And he cast the demon out of the boy. Pastor Ray said, you know, whoever finds this verse first, would you please read it? And one of the other pastors got to it, and he read it, and he didn't stop there. He says, "Pastor Ray," he said, "you're preaching on that this Sunday." So Ray, right now, Manitoba, they're ahead of us, so he's probably done. But he says, you know, the most profound way you could preach that is to say, "And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" He says, that would be the shortest message you ever preached, but it'd be the one they would remember. How long am I to bear with you? Yeah, he says, just walk off the platform. We had to wait a couple of minutes for the laughter to cease. And Pastor Ray says, you know, I'm actually thinking about doing that now. And if you've been to Southland, as a number of you have, it's a much further walk from the platform to the lobby than that is. It would take several minutes to accomplish that. He said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Listen, was it the will of God that those demons be cast out? Yeah, because Jesus does it. You know? How big a faith? He says, you got little faith, but how big is a mustard seed? Not very big. He's not criticizing the quantity of their faith. He's criticizing the quality of their faith. You see, these same fellows had been appointed and ordained by God and sent out two by two earlier, and they were casting out demons. They came back and they said, "This is wild. I mean, the sick were healed and the demons were cast out. You know, they're subject to us," and he deals with that. There comes a time that we can, in our faith and in our walk, have more faith in what we can do and what we have done in the past, and thinking we can continue to do it, and it's just the work of our flesh. Hello? Need to have faith in God. He said, "I really want your faith to grow, to expand." You know? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. If it's just going to be what I've always done, I'm going to get the same results. I think it was Einstein who said insanity is thinking that you can do the same thing over and over again but get different results. You know, we got to be careful we're never doing that. We need to be people who are hearing the Word of God and are opening ourselves up to new possibilities of what God will do. Faith from Tyler's Greek lexicon is conviction of the truth of anything. Belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction of belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor, born of faith, conjoined with it. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do I have that kind of faith where I'm a... Listen, this is God's will and purposes that his kingdom will come. And we're supposed to hasten the return of the day of the Lord. Reaching out to people. And he's going to come. He's going to establish his kingdom. It'll be here for 1,000 years. The thing that baffles me is after 1,000 years, Satan is loose for a little season, and there's a falling away. Like, how stubborn are we? No, really. No? My hope is in God. My hope is not in humanity. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, now notice the connection here. This is Paul writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is the same guy in 1 Corinthians 13:13 who says, now abide these three, what? Faith, hope, and love. No? And you, when you begin to look at his epistles, you discover that tends to be a reoccurring theme through the Holy Spirit. He says, I give thanks for their hope. Colossians 1, verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, for this you have heard before the word of truth, the gospel. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which is being proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which Paul, I have become a minister. Okay, next. Verse 27. To them God chose to make known, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of this mystery. What's the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you that makes you a saint. Okay? It is this fact of redemption that makes every believer a saint. Christ in you. And I need to keep saying that to myself, okay? Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Okay? And hope, again, from Taylor's lexicon. Lexicon is simply a dictionary. Okay? That's all it is. That in which one confides or to which he flees for refuge, expectation, hope. What is my hope? You know, we receive from God by faith, and through the Holy Spirit's endowment of hope, we continue until the word given by God becomes a reality in our experience. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God declares it here. And I believe it, but it can be attacked. And I can become disillusioned at times. I can become disappointed. I may even be flat out rebellious. But what is it that causes me to hold on to that faith? It's the divine quality of the Holy Spirit called hope. He gives you hope in your inner man that what was spoken is going to become a reality. And then when I get over, though it doth not yet appear what I shall be, when I see him, I shall be like him. I received it in faith there, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I struggle in my walk, but I continue to walk in hope. And guess what? Someday it's going to become a reality. What's the hope that you're hanging to? You know? In temporal things, right now my son's hoping he gets a fair appraisal for his vehicle so he can replace it. I understand that hope, but that's not the divine hope that God has for him. Amen? You know? He's already got his appraisal from God. He says, you're a saint. Now walk worthy. And that's the whole theme of Colossians. You know, you receive in faith, walk in hope. So he gives thanks for their hope. Now, where there's real faith and where there's real hope, love begins to be manifested. Okay? Colossians 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Now, I know that Tim's easier to love than loving me. He's just generally a nicer guy. But you realize you're the only one laughing. The rest are in agreement. What I believe in Christ, you see, if I believe and understand that I'm a saint because of what God's done, then, Darcy, you're a saint, and we're one in Christ, and I should love you with the love of Christ. And that needs to extend to every portion of the body. You know, faith permits that. Faith generates that. Faith intervenes in that. And there's a hope that arises. Now, I'm not saying that we're in agreement with every believer on every point. But are we experiencing the love of Christ for them? That has to be our own individual decision. Listen, love doesn't mean approval. God loves me. God loves you. But he doesn't approve of all things that I do. Hello? We didn't understand that. Love doesn't mean approval. It does mean acceptance. He accepts me. He receives me. And he will work with me. And he'll conform me to his image. You know, Romans 8, 28 and 29 and 30. And it goes on. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, and it gives a whole list of things. It's kind of summed up in neither life nor death. That covers most everything. God says, I'm for you, okay? Well, go back to John 1:17. 1 John 1:17. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You would think that you would say that if we were walking in the light as he is in the light, we'd have fellowship with him. But the reality is when I will yield to the Holy Spirit and yield to his grace, abounding in his grace, walking in faith and hope, then there'll be greater love between each of us. It's a natural byproduct. Okay? Because Christ in you wants to love the people around you. Okay? It's not really a mystery. You can get down to it. Okay, go ahead. Colossians 1, verse 8. And has made known to us your love in the Spirit. He says, this is one of the things that's characterizing you. He says, you have love for one another. 1 Corinthians 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What? That you're Pentecostal, charismatic, you speak in tongues, you do this, you do that? No. By your love one for another. Now listen, the most charismatic Pentecostal expressive congregation in the New Testament is that in Corinthians, and he says, you guys fight more than anybody else. You know, you're arguing, you know, are you not carnal? He says, some of you say you're of Paul, some of Apollo, some even have the nerve to say you're of Jesus Christ. He says, are you not carnal? And he boils it down to, he says, you need to love one another. You know? We need to understand something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are a gift. You know? They're a gift. They're not earned. You know? I need to develop better character so I administer them better, but they're a gift. You know? Maturity develops character. Hello? There's a huge distinction there. We don't understand that. And come on. This is the group. They're doing all of these things. And he says, you get together for the Lord's Supper. And he says, the rich are getting there early and it's a picnic and they got their wine. And by the time the workers get in, they're drunk and you call this the Lord's Supper. He goes on, therefore I deliver unto you that which was first delivered unto me. And then he says, are you tracking with me? Let's not pretend that because I have a particular gift that I am somehow elevated. It's a gift. Yeah? My son, his thing with the car, I said, okay, listen, I'll put X number of dollars in your account. He had an accident. He didn't pay attention. He turned and hit somebody. Did he earn that? It's a gift. Hello? We didn't understand that. I didn't earn the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. God just gave. And he looks at me and says, are you willing to receive? Okay, next. The Holy Spirit's desire expressed through Paul. Colossians 9:14. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. How then, in light of these things, Peter said, we looked at last week, in light of all of these things, how then shall I live? Okay? Bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for endurance and patience with joy. Endurance and patience, what is that? Hope causes me to continue. Knowing the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he's qualified you. God wants us to succeed. Hello? That's the reality. Is he wants us to succeed. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And that song just keeps coming back. Your kingdom come. Well, listen, God says, listen, I've taken you out of the rule and the authority of Satan, taken you out of that domain, and I've put you into this one. Now you got to decide whether you're going to walk in it. You're in it, but you can walk foolishly or rebelliously. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ according to 2 Corinthians 5, the bema seat of Christ. He'll judge what we've done. But he says, you need to make the decision. What are you going to do? And the rest of Colossians, he elaborates on this desire of the Holy Spirit that is expressed by Paul. Okay? Knowing in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And for a while in my Christian life, I thought, okay, he's cleaned the blackboard, I had that as an assignment periodically in elementary school. Remember, you'd have to go and people would be assigned to clean the blackboard, I thought, okay, the slate's been wiped clean. How many are grateful for that? Well, I was, but you know what? As I continued to get in the Word, I discovered something about the blackboard. It wasn't just wiped clean. He removed it. He doesn't call to mind any of it. That's right. Yeah, and that's not on a globe. Because on a globe, they meet again. That's a straight line. Does he forget your sin? God can't forget anything. He's God. But he never calls it to mind. You ever had a disagreement with somebody and they bring up stuff from years ago? God doesn't. I see a number of married couples looking at each other. No. God doesn't. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. You know? But get this. Remember Hebrews 12. He says, if you're my child, I'm going to discipline you. I will train you. I find nothing more distressing or discouraging than watching kids who are on discipline and the parents are sitting right there and they're ignoring it. You know? And, you know, I saved one thing on Facebook. You know, I was taught by my dad to be respectful in this, you know, and have good manners. I was holding the door open for one of my coworkers, you know, a young lady. You know, she says, "No, you go ahead." I said, "No, you go. Ladies first." "You're such a gentleman." You know, bad company. The scripture says, not Facebook or anything else. The scripture says bad company corrupts good manners. God wants us to grow up into Him. You know? And it takes me back to this portion in Hebrews about this. And I stopped to look at the reference. What's this about that he's commenting on? And it's about the priestly role of Christ and how he's like a priest like Melchizedek. And it goes on, and he says, although he was a son, he learned obedience. Can I suggest to you that if Jesus had to learn obedience, so does John? Hello? Through that which he was blessed in. No. Through which he suffered. Well, I'm claiming that verse. No, we don't. But it's a reality. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. John, are you hearing? Are you willing to hear the word of God? Are you willing to let God make adjustments in your life? And what is it that permits me to do that? Faith, hope, and love. Amen? Richard, you want to come up?